हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओके सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय 1 आदिकाण्ड 5 सुप्रीमेसी ऑफ भक्ति एज द अल्टीमेट पाथ ओके सो फिनिश द लास्ट अनुच्छेद 110 एंड ऑन द प्रीति. The next Anucheda cites from the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Supreme Lord himself states that out of all yogis, the devotee is the best. It is further explained that bhakti is meant to be practiced by individuals of all varnas and at all times. This underscores the universal application of bhakti, emphasizing that it should be undertaken by people of all backgrounds, regardless of the specific spiritual discipline they follow, right? Because other disciplines may have some regulation on who can be involved in it, who what is for every, but this is the one that's for everybody. It's non-discriminatory. You know, it doesn't have any element that you know, whether discrimination is practical or not. So the idea that you know, being from a non-Vedic culture, therefore we can't follow any of these Vedic things, then that's not correct, because here, as the Acharya is pointing out and Krishna is pointing out from the Gita, that it's meant for everybody. Devotional service is meant for everybody, and therefore then the natural application is there for everybody, because we have to remember, we're the soul, not the body. If we were the body, then you can say, yes, this is for this one, that one's for that one. But since we're the soul, then you can't actually say that. Anucheda 111. The Lord proclaims himself the bhakti as the highest abhideya. According to me, the yogi is better than the tapasvi, better than the jnani, and better than the karmi. Therefore be a yogi, Arjuna. Yoginam api sarvesham mad gaten antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. But I consider he who worships me with faith, with mind attached to me, to be greater than all types of yogis. Bhagavad Gita 6:46-47. Right. So, the Acharya says, the person who worships me with faith is greater than the yogi or the others, right? So, the aspect of yogis, here was it, possessive case, yogi nam, expresses the ablative, yogi bhyaha. Right, so then what is the cause of it, right? Because the possessive means you have it, but it expresses that the ablative means that it's coming from this or caused by this or the background of this is. Because of the devotion, right, because that's what is coming from, therefore there's a sense of possession. So that aspect of having a relationship with the Lord is better than the other yogas. Because in the other yogas, in karma and jnana, and just a regular Ashtanga yoga, then the problem, the weakness comes up is that they may be directed at the Lord because that's all you can do with to make them work. It means since it's Krishna's world, without bhakti, nothing works. And so therefore, then this devotion has to be applied. And so if one's actually understanding, one will know that devotion has to be applied to Vishnu. You want liberation, Vishnu. You want to, you know, the perfection of all your conda activities and is Lord of Vishnu. You can worship lesser demigods, but then you're going to get lesser results in that line. So the point is the best results are from worshiping Vishnu. And Ashtanga Yoga, then you're meditating on Paramatma. So then the point comes up is that if we're dealing in that way, then we can bring out the point is that they're doing it because Bhakti becomes part and anga of their practice. So they're worshiping Vishnu only because it gives them the result in their process. He said that they, were supposed to worship someone else to get the result. They do that. So they don't care who they're worshiping as long as they're getting the result they want. And it said if you're worshiping Vishnu, you're going to get the best results in the easiest way. So then why you wouldn't do that to get your results? Right? So, but it's about, it's not a, it's so the relationship is there and that you're respecting and this and that. And there's some appreciation, but it doesn't take on the point here of possessive case, yogi nam. That's coming from the yogi Biha, that he is a yogi. He is situated in his aspect of service to Krishna. Like that. So that's why then he can stay, as he says, be a yogi. Right? But here it's about the yogi means this kind of yogi. This is the actual yogi. The other yogis are only temporarily yogis. This kind of yogi is a permanent yogi, right? So therefore, if you're looking for the eternal, you're looking for the permanent, right? And so therefore, why wouldn't you take the platform that is also working on the permanent? And the relationships are, so a relationship with the absolute, then a permanent relationship gives that permanent result. So that will be the idea that's going on here, is that they're only appreciating in as much as it gets the work done. They're not appreciating that they're the person, right? So even though he's localized Paramatma, they're just, it's that he's all pervading personality of Godhead. Probably uses a very nice term. I think it's in that point of the Manifesto of Krishna Consciousness when he was reading. Then it's just before that part, that quote that you sent me, that about the soul being in the three features. So then he's mentioning the soul being all the consciousness pervades the body, so that's the thought aspect. Then he's localized in the heart, that's the chit aspect, and then he's an individual, that's the ananda aspect. So then he's talking about Krishna, so is then the all-pervading impersonal feature. That's the Brahman. Then the all-pervading localized feature, I think he uses the term localized, that he's in his personal form, but it's as the identity is Godhead and the control of energies, rather than as the individual, the supreme personality of Godhead, because then it's about the personality, right? So and those all those other worships, they're only dealing with them on the Brahman or Paramatma platform. And so it's still the all-pervading aspect, all-pervading, controlling, judge, witness, the giver of the results, the benefactor. It's not about him as a person. So even though they're following the Vedic regulations, which is important that they are there and give all those rituals, because otherwise people are going to do any old stuff that they like. Right? It's just whatever they feel like. And so then it's not how will it be pleasing? If they're going to please Vishnu, then it should be according to ways that he says this is pleasurable. So therefore then worship according to these the 16 items that are presented. So whether you're using 16, 10, 5, 2, and then for us, then especially the one, the devotion. But that they're doing this according to directions that he gives. Otherwise, they'd make up their own ideas what they do. Just like you see, as you have the Vedic systems of what is how you are, initiated and things like that. They're all for uplifting the consciousness, all purification, all giving various religious processes that support elevation of the consciousness and bring you to that highest platform. But you see, when something that's non-religious, and they have an initiation ceremony of any sort, it's always some weird thing that just harasses and gives them trouble or that. Like you go to university and you, so when you join, when you're first there, then because you're new, then there has to be some kind of, for the first so many days, they just haze you. They just harass, So, one devotee telling me that when he went to, first day on campus and stuff like that, then some big, huge guy comes up to him and says, "Are you a member of the Bush Club?" He says, "Bush club? No." So he actually physically picks him up and throws him into the bush that's right next to them. So now he's a member of the Bush Club, right? So things like that just have weirder, that in no way brings you more closer to gaining knowledge, bring you closer to camaraderie with other students that are there, doesn't purify the consciousness up, nothing. All it does is just harass. It's just mode of ignorance, right? So that's why if Krishna didn't give the ways of worship in the Vedas and the Agamas, then no one would know how to do. So that's the only thing, that's the common point. The religious element that they're following is the common point with the Vaishnavas. Because the religion that's given is the religion that's used in the spiritual world to serve Krishna. It's the medium that you use to serve. And so, because it's used naturally to express, therefore it becomes non-different. While here, because it's not about pleasing Krishna, I mean, about serving Krishna in devotion, the religion and the philosophy are two different things, right? And so because of that, then you have that the process that they're following is different from their philosophy, right? But in any case, because it's recommended, it gives them results, right? And so it's uplifting, but not like what Krishna says here in the Gita with faith. Worshiping faith with mind attached to me, right? That gives the possessive, the yogi nama and the yogi bhaha, that gives that aspect that it's that it comes from that based on faith, therefore there's that attachment, there's the possession. Says that's the best. He's the greatest of all types of yogis. So even within devotional service, as one develops more and more the idea that you're doing this to please Krishna, he becomes a greater and greater yogi. But in any case, one who has that faith in Krishna, that automatically puts them on that special and elevated platform, even as a neophyte. So the neophyte Vaishnava is better than the very advanced and realized, of the karmic jnani, the yogis. He's still better like that because his position is actually what those others are supposed to produce, because it's about what's the result. Rather than just the technique, like we get, oh, he's a doctor, so therefore he must be very special. I mentioned before, is that if it's just a regular old dude, joins, and someone joins who's a doctor, and they're both joined at the same time, but if you think, okay, who's more advanced, you think the one who's a doctor is more advanced, when actually, no, he just has material skills. Like that, he has intelligence skills and all that, and he's put in the effort. So yes, that's good. But as far as devotion goes, it doesn't necessarily mean, right? That's not indicative. Now, if he uses all that for Krishna, then he has so much, advantage to use for Krishna. But if he doesn't use it for Krishna, there's no advantage. In fact, it could cause him pride and think he's better and superior. And because of that, then create trouble for everybody. Right. Okay. So continue. The devotee is greater than all those mentioned. The word sarvesham means all the previously mentioned practitioners, not just yogis. For it is said, daiva evapare yajnam yoginah paryupasate. Others, however, karma yogis, engage in worship of devatas. Bhagavad 425. So we see here is the karma yogis that they're on the path of karma, but as upasana, they worship demigods, right? And then those who are on the path of jnana, they also, generally speaking, tend to worship devatas, right? Lord Shiva being very popular like that, because he's actually in charge of those who do get to the liberated platform. And then, come and then they sit in that bright, light, the Brahma Jyoti there in the Mahakalapura, on the edge of the Mahatattva and the spiritual world. So you can say as they're not in the material world and that they're not in a universe, they're outside the universe, but they're not actually in the spiritual world because they still have the idea that I'm controller and enjoyer. So they're right on that border. Right, so you can see them, sitting there in that bright light, and them all white, and the light all white, and sitting there doing the yoga meditation, absorbed. And Shiva's, keeps an eye on them. As soon as their mind gets restless that they would like to do something, Shiva immediately takes them from there and puts them into the material world in some place. Right? So therefore, they tend to all worship demigods, karma yogis especially, but but if they're better, if they're worshiping Vishnu, but still they're worshiping him as a demigod. That's like you see in India, you have the Satya Narayan Puja. So they have Vishnu there and they do a very nice elaborate puja and everybody gets into it. It doesn't matter their background, but they consider him a demigod and that he's temporary. It's just a representation of Brahman. So he's Vishnu in the mode of goodness, not pure goodness. So of the demigods, he's the most in goodness, and others then, are dealing in others, but still they consider him only in goodness, not transcendental. So then, even though they may be worshiping Vishnu, they're worshiping like a demigod, but at least it's Vishnu. So then, it's more effective, but still, as soon as their worship is done, the bhakti leaves and then they're just left with their material results. So here, others, they worship these demigods. So therefore, they're not actually, they're not what Krishna's talking about here. Right? Like that. And then even if you are talking about, okay, it's mixed, then we can even see within devotional service, your devotional service is mixed with karma or mixed with jnana or mixed with yoga. It's not as good as if it was pure bhakti. Right? So in any case, you always see it always is consistent and always goes through. Continuing, therefore, it is proved that bhakti to the Lord is necessary for all people. Since those who are not devotees are condemned, the Lord says to Uddhava, right? So if you're not a devotee, you're condemned because the material world belongs to God and it's meant for realizing and going back to God. So if you're not, you're condemned. You're condemned to stay in the material world. Well, those who take up devotional service, they're on the path to go back. And it's possible in one lifetime you can go back. So for us, it's mentioned like that. I think in the Puranas, it's mentioned like that. Whether others understand it like that, but it's what's given. The Lord says to Uddhava, quote, "The main duties of a sannyasi are equanimity and nonviolence, whereas the duties of the vanaprastha are austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and soul. The main duties of a householder are to give shelter to all living entities and to perform sacrifices. And the main duty of the brahmachari is serving the guru." Right, so these are the main duties of the essential point, like I mentioned about equanimity, that they're seeing all situations as, it doesn't matter what the situation is, whatever you're in, you use that for elevating yourself in Krishna consciousness. That's the main point. Nonviolence, as they try to deal always properly with all living entities, be very careful that once they're moving around, they're not stepping on things or killing things. And also just that people are giving them trouble, that they don't try to create trouble back, like we see with the Avantipur Brahmana. When he took sannyas, then, as he moves around and the local punk kids, and they all like to come and harass, and because as the sannyasi is not giving any problem back, then they take great pleasure in harassing more, right? Because they can get away with it. Right, so that aspect of equanimity and nonviolence that you don't, because there's nothing to gain here, is that they've done something to you. You get the opportunity to do something back. You have to stay here to get that. So you're not interested. You're interested in leaving, right, and just being situated in pure Krishna consciousness, right. Whereas the duties of the vanaprastha, austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and the soul. Right, so austerity, so they keep it very, very simple, because as a grihastha, then they've had so much nice facility and all that, and to see that they're not attached to that, then they keep it, what's comfortable, as Prabhupada mentions, what's comfortable. In other words, they don't function what's luxurious. They function what's comfortable, right? Because luxurious is beyond, oh, that's very special. That grihastha may do that, but Point is that it's a matter of it's about what works for you. Less than this, then it's a problem. More than this, then it's a distraction. So you find that balance there. And so that'll be the austerity and seeing that everything is connected, Krishna. And then philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and the soul is that they're trying to understand, analytically, what's the difference and seeing in what situations they're acting on the bodily platform, where the acting is the soul and things like that. So they specifically focus on that. And then naturally, then they're going to, yeah. So the sannyasi would be teachers talking about the philosophy, but also just the element of the pure Krishna consciousness or the vanaprastha, then he'll be practicing that. And also then he can point out that people do things based on the spiritual platform, not on the material, do things because it's Krishna conscious, not because of gossip and stuff like that. And so, because they're working in that area, it makes it very easy for them also to preach on the religious platform. In other words, the sannyasi preaches on the philosophical and the sad-dharma aspect. The vanaprastha can preach on the philosophy, but also on on the sad-dharma, but also on just dharma, how to engage dharma as a secondary support for Krishna consciousness, because they're from that background and no one can say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about, right? Then the main duty of households is to give shelter to all living entities and to perform sacrifices. So they're always engaged in some kind of sacrifice, the Harinam means the preaching mission and stuff like that, but for the benefit of sheltered all living entities. So the best of that, of course, is going to be the Sankirtan movement. But in any case, they're always taking care of, whoever is within their house, whoever is their friends and relatives, whenever, people in the community, like this, they're always, being very, very careful to give shelter like that. While we see the sannyasi is not necessarily giving shelter, but he's not giving any trouble, right? The main duty of the brahmachari is serving the guru, because then by serving the guru, then he advances in his spiritual life, consciousness, knowledge, and has a basis foundation for either continuing as a naistika brahmachari or moving on to grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyas, whichever it is. But it's that serving the guru is going to be the basis of any of the other three positions, right? And so then, so yeah, so that's the point is that this is the main duty. You can say as, oh, it's doing this and that and being practical and that, but the practical means how to practically give shelter to all living entities and perform sacrifices. That's practical. Or how to practically be engaged in austerity and philosophical understand the difference between the body and the soul, or practically how to be equanimity and nonviolence, or practically serving the guru. That's the practical points you're looking at. Other things are just making money or this and that, and then that's below this. This is the essence, right? The main duties is that. These are supporting duties on how you're going to express that. Then Krishna continues, as well, the householder may approach his wife for sex only at the time prescribed for begetting children. Otherwise, the householder should practice celibacy, austerity, cleanliness of mind and body, satisfaction, friendship towards all living entities. Right. So we see is that these are all things that are going to be beneficial. One, it's a continuation of the brahmacharya serving the guru, following the order. And it's also the basis, these aspects are practices for as vanaprastha or sannyasi. They're the same thing. So in other words, your practice as a brahmachari, naturally you're going to be doing all these things, because that's all you do under the guru. And as a grihastha, then you're on your own. So then one does these things, out of one's own determination. And then how far you've taken that's very nice. But now you bring it, vanaprastha takes it a step further, the austerity and the understanding of the difference between body and soul, philosophical understanding. And then the equanimity and nonviolence and the sannyasi takes it even a step more. But all those are practices, the household, just like whatever is there for all of them is practices the brahmachari. So in the same way, moving forward to the grihastha ashram, then they're going to be practicing again what's good as a grihastha and what's good for a vanaprastha and sannyasi. Those emphasis is on, giving shelter and all that, just like the brahmachari is practicing all three, but the emphasis is on serving guru. the Nivanaprastha, they're doing all those things, but the emphasis is on this. So we see as each one is emphasizing one. All these four are necessary for everyone, but each one focuses on one, so they become expert at it. So if you've already become expert before, then it just makes things go very smoothly. But if not, at least then there's a time when it can be focused on. That's the idea, right? So then Krishna continues, worship of me is to be practiced by all human beings, regardless of social or occupational divisions, right? Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 18, 42 through 43. So he's mentioned that these are the specifics for every for the different positions, the different stations. But worship of Krishna is to be practiced by all human beings. Right? So just like for the brahmachari, he's known as Varni, right? Because that position is there for all, for the brahmachari, for the, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they all practice brahmacharya, right? To what degree, how much they go, how deep, that's another thing, but they all practice that. So then, because that's the basis of the other things, in the same way as that being a devotee, that's the basis of everything. And, you know, that's the main duties of the soul. These others are main duties of what position you happen to be according to your body in life. But the soul is that of worshiping Krishna. So despite all, regardless of that. So that's always there. Then you have these in there, and then it gets down like that. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Narada includes bhakti while discussing the duties of all varnas. Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 11, 10. Okay, Mahabharata. Okay, he's quoting from all these, and then it starts with the Mahabharata. The person who does not worship the Lord, who protects the universe like a mother and creates and destroys it, should be known as a killer of a brahmana, because the brahmana then protects dharma, and then that's what they're doing. But you're not following dharma, so then it should be known as a killer of brahmana. He doesn't necessarily get the sin of that specific, but the point is he doesn't develop very nicely. He doesn't develop properly. So nothing on any material platform will function nicely unless you worship the Lord. Right? Then from Bhagavad Gita. The falsely intelligent, consisting of the foolish humans to think that I am a material being. The fallen humans who absorb themselves in material knowledge. The speculators who come to wrong conclusions about God. And the demons who think that I have no form and qualities do not surrender to me. Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Right. So those who think that he's material. Right, so that's the mudas, those who absorb some material knowledge. You know, they think they're sophisticated because they have the material knowledge. They're a corporate person, or they're a bureaucrat, you know, or some kind of thing. So then they think are material thing. Then they knowledge. So they think that professionals. They think that they're very good, or they have their knowledge, their particular skill. You know, they're very expert at it. They're the best. Doing blowing glass or colored glass, and you know, very silent, you know, like this, and they're very proud of that. They're absorbed like that, and not about the Lord. Speculate, come to wrong conclusions about God, so they speculate, but then they come to the wrong understanding, right? And then the demons who think he has no form and qualities, so that can be any demons, and so and they think that they're God and things like that. God has no form and qualities, so it's not important. But I'm God, you know. So these it doesn't make sense. Then from Vishnu Dharma, there are two types of beings, devotees and demons. The devotees are dedicated to Vishnu. Demons are the opposite, right? So very simple, right? And then there's the various degrees of, they may be demoniac by the mentality, but in their religious activities, they do things very properly because they know it'll get better benefit. But it's still demoniac because it's against Vishnu. And that's the purpose of actual religion, right? Because like that. And so, yeah, because we see that discussion's going on in 11th canto with Uddhava. And so it's about that when it's devotional service, you know, favorable devotional service, that's actually pious. anything else is impious. And then within impious, you can say this is better, you know, what we'd call piety, and this is less better, this is impious. Then from Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, I consider a dog eater who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord, superior to a Brahmana who has all 12 items of the previous verse, but who is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord. He purifies his whole family, means the dog eater. Whereas the so-called respectable person means that Brahman does not. Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 9, 10. Right. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj speaks of the Vipras, the learned Brahmins. The learned Brahmana is considered the best among the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But a devotee born in a low Chandala family is better than such Brahmanas. Not to speak of the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, right? So he's better than the Brahmanas means he's automatically better than the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or others. You know, or any other group. A devotee is better than anyone, for he is the transcendental, for he is in the transcendental position on the Brahmana platform, on the Brahman platform. Right? So he's on the Brahmins are supposed to come to Brahman realization. Right? But the devotee is, means they're trying to get to that. That is their goal. But for a devotee, he's already on the transcendental position. So he's already on the Brahman platform. It's just a matter of whether he realizes that or not. You know, he's situated there, just like acts and devotion are all situated on Vishuddha Sattva. So they're all on the Brahman platform. They're all transcendental. But the person presenting it due to conditioning may still think he's, you know, connected with the gross and subtle body. And so they may deal in that way. So that's why sadhana bhakti takes time to clear off this covering, right? And so when you get to the platform of the pure devotion, then you're technically at that neutral stage where now it's now do you continue forward? You come to that point by devotion. So then you continue forward and come to prema, right? So that's why even the devotee, when he comes to the Brahma Bhuta platform, he's better than the sages who are on that Brahma Bhuta platform because he got there by pure devotion. You know, that practice of pure devotion, while the sage got there by mental speculation and austerity. So he's actually not as well situated because he doesn't necessarily have an interest in devotion to the Lord. He may have been worshiping because it's just part of the process, but it's not necessarily that's what he wants. Right? Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. And while the devotee, he's on that platform, he may not understand it. Just like it say, no, how is that possible? No, when you're on there, then you're this, you're that. You know, it's just like, are there people that are in the temple room, but they're distracted and doing something else? They're on their phones, they're doing some, you know, some, looking on their phones, doing things, or, you know, they're checking out each other in the temple room. Like I've seen it sometimes, you have the devotees going around and Prabhupada and the you know, when Prabhupada goes around the temple and in the morning for the Darshanartik, and then some people kind of stand a little bit back. They've gone around, but you know, they don't go necessarily so much into it or that. And so they stand a little bit back. And I've seen sometimes where someone went by in the procession going around really nicely dressed. You know, you can tell that they made an effort. And the ones standing in the side are kind of like, who does this person think they are? You know, it's like, you know, that, you know, why are they dressing like that? Because you see that they're dressed nicely, but they're not, you know, quiet and just being absorbed in the kirtan, but they're, you know, presenting themselves, yes, you know, aren't I the great, you know, like this. And so then there, so all these things are going on, but, you know, technically they're rightly situated. They're on the Brahman platform. They're in the temple and all that. So the situation is transcendental, but whether they're taking full advantage of it or not is another thing. So that's why all devotees are on the transcendental position. It's just that the pure devotees act like it. And the ones below that, then there's going to be some mix of karma and jnana. So they're not always acting like it. When they're doing direct activities, then you generally see it. You know, that's the most platform it'll be. And when they're engaged in religious activities, you may or may not see it like that. But on the pure devotee, then you'll see it, you know, in the direct, you'll see it in the indirect. So it's consistent, right? Does that make sense? So that's why devotees are unique, because they have that faith, as it mentions. That makes the difference. While the other ones may be worshiping Vishnu, like the smartas might be Vaishnavas. Their home deity is Vishnu, you know, and other family, you know, other branches of the family are Shaivites or Ganapatyas, Asuryas, like that, but they're Vaishnavas. And so, but they don't have faith in Vishnu as the eternal form of the Lord. So in that way, then they even become classified, like it mentions, as demons. Right? Okay. Yeah? The next quote. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Right? So that's the point. When he's always engaged, then he comes down, you come to that point of, then you'll say, yes, he's on the Brahman platform. The other one, you're situated on it, but you're not acting in that capacity. Right? That's why the devotee, even though he's a neophyte devotee, he's still better situated as far as conscious, the actual elevation of consciousness than the very elevated, you know, smarta, you know, who's very expert in all his duties and shastras and can quote and this and that. That's what bewilders people, because they may see devotees not always following all the nice, you know, cultural elements, religious elements, but they're actually superior, while you have others are following very, very nicely. But then they don't have that devotional attitude. So this is where it has to be pointed out. Otherwise, the natural thing is especially if you're coming from, or the importance is, you know, what it mentions here, the, where was that? The fallen humans who absorb themselves in material knowledge, because now that's the thing, the bourgeois, then their focus is on material knowledge. And for that, for Artha, I'll get benefit, I'll get control, I'll get enjoyment and everything. Therefore, the whole professional culture and all that that comes up, everybody has to work on that. So even you have someone's a Brahmin, you know, which is a Brahminical platform, and they're as a doctor, still they have to function as a professional, as a bourgeois. You know, they're part of the economic scene. They're not just fun. It means if you're a doctor and just doing, you know, you're going around, you know, we'll visit people at their houses and you have your clinic and you're doing things and a lot of, you know, free stuff and all that. Everyone, oh, that's very nice, but in actuality, he's a bit of a bozo, because the work that he's doing, he's only getting this much money. But if he actually worked as a proper professional, he could get 10 times that amount of money. And so then, you know, they'll think he's a bit of an idiot. So that's the problem in the society, is that prestige, that position is based basically on being a Narayana, right? Because that point there, that Krishna's pointing out, you know, just interested in that's a Narayana, right? Like that. So, yeah. So we say here, one who engages in full devotional, so okay, comes to the level of Bhagavad Gita. The 12 qualities of a first-class Brahmana, as stated in the book Sanatha Sujata, are as follows. Dhyanam cha, satyam cha, dhamashutam cha, hyamat saryam haris titikshana suya, yajaschadanam, Chadritis samascha mahadvrata dvadasha. So the European and American devotees, this is all from a purport by Prabhupada. Yes. the 7, 9, 10, yeah. The European and American devotees in the Krishna conscious movement are sometimes accepted as brahmanas, but the so-called caste brahmanas are very much envious of them. In answer to such envy, Prahlad Maharaj says that one who has been born in a Brahmin family but is falsely proud of his prestigious position cannot even purify himself, not to speak of his family. Whereas if a chandala, a low-born person, is a devotee and is fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he can purify his entire family. And right, not only entire family, we know that it means, we're talking about Prahlad Maharaj, 21 generations. That means 21, the one is yourself, right? And then 10 in either direction, in the future and in the past, like that. We have an actual experience of how Americans and Europeans, because of their full Krishna consciousness, have purified their whole families. So much so that a mother devotee at the time of her death inquired about Krishna with her last breath. Therefore, it is theoretically true and has been practically proven that a devotee can give the best service to his family, his community, his society, and his nation. They give the best, right? Because whatever it is, they'll bring people up in their consciousness. And, you know, people will start to see whatever they're doing in relation to the Lord. The foolish accuse a devotee of following the principles of escapism. But actually, the fact is that a devotee is the right person to elevate his family. A devotee engages everything in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is always exalted. Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 9, 10 purport. That would be like, let's say, somehow or another, the devotee, the whole family is, let's say, stuck in a well. And he's gotten out of the well. And by him being out of the well, then he can help save the family. But the impious viewpoint is, no, he's an escapist. He's not, if he really, he'd be down here with us. This is the real life, you know, being stuck in the well. No, he's gotten out and now he can help you get out. If you want to stay in the well, stay, but don't say he's an escapist, because what you're doing in the well, that's, everybody should be escaping from that. So that you're not escaping means there's something wrong with you. You know, so this escapism just makes it sound bad when it's, no, it's actually, that's the, what everybody's supposed to be doing. A devotee engages everything in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is always exalted. Right? Then, next verse, Swapacho pi mahi pala Vishnu bhakto dvijadikaha. Vishnu bhakti vihinastu dvijopi swapacha dikaha. O king, the dog eater who is a devotee of Vishnu is better than the brahmana. The brahmana without bhakti to Vishnu is worse than a dog eater. Narada Purana. Right? So these kind of verses really the smartas do not appreciate. And we have to be very careful, as even devotees have to be very careful not to view in these ways. Right? It's because of the faith and surrender to Krishna on that platform, then there's, you know, they're the best. Now, if someone's a brahmana and he's surrendered to the Lord, and someone's a chandala and they've surrendered to the Lord, devotionally, they're both the best. Now, what services are going to be expert at, that's going to be according to their conditioning. So as the chandala, what was their kind of background and proclivities and all that, they can do that knows nicely for Krishna. And those, the Brahmin, he may be able to do that nicely for Krishna if he actually has the Brahminical. He's born in the Brahmin family, but does he actually have the Brahminical activities? Right? And someone's born in the Chandala family, that can be also just from bad behavior in previous life. So you're born there, but actually then they're from a better position. You know, it's like you see Ritrasura. He was a great king, great devotee, like that, because of making an offense, then he took birth as a demon, right? So that's why the question came up, is that he's the demon and he's fighting Indra, who's the demigod, but then it's mentioned that Dhritarasura then became absorbed in the Lord and went back to Godhead, you know, at his death. But Indra, even though he defeated him as the demigod defeating the demon, Indra, you know, his prize is staying and rotting in the material world. So he asked, how is it that, demigods are known as the devotees? So how is it that he, so for him to be seen as the devotee and Indra as the demigod, that means Vritrasura is acting as a pure devotee. How is that? Because he's come from a demon background. So then they tell the whole story of how in his previous life, how then as the great king and everything, then, he was going along and so many difficulties, and finally he becomes detached from all that, and it's just the gates and devotional service. But then he's offering praise to Lord Shiva, but how he does it, he's not including sense. Bhavani is there with Shiva. He should have used something clever that was, you could say, what's the word? Yeah, friendly for a mixed group. I think it's there. There's a term for that when it means there's jokes that the women may say to women or men may say to women when it's only them. But when you mix company, that's it. So in other words, he should have used words or presentation for mixed company, but he didn't. He just mentioned it for Lord Shiva, and it was all the sages there. So Lord Shiva and all the sages understood, but Parvati didn't appreciate it. So because of that, then he took birth like that. But because of his position and the blessing of the Lord, he didn't forget his position. So he's born in the demon family, but he remembers his position as a devotee. So it goes both ways, this thing. So you'd be born in the Brahmin family, but be a complete demon. Or be born in the Brahmin family and have all the great qualities and wonderful, very nice and all those things like Sudama Brahmin, just very, very nice, high quality Brahmins. Right? Then the next time we do time. Antam gatopi vedanam sarva shastrartha vedyapi. Yo na sarveshware bhaktas tvam vidyat purusha. Purushadamam. The person who has studied all the Vedas and other scriptures is the worst of men if he is not a devotee of the Lord. Garuda Purana 1, 231-17. Hari Puja Vihnascha Cha Veda Vidveshinastata Godvija Dvesha Nirata Rakshasa Parikirti. The persons who do not worship the Lord, the persons who hate the Vedas, and the persons who hate cows and brahmanas are known as demons. Narada Purana 137.5. Right, so just you don't worship the Lord. You may not hate the Vedas, you may not hate cows and brahmanas, but you're still a demon because you don't worship the Lord. Because generally they all go together. It's just like the devotee, then the full manifestation is the pure devotee, right? And the same way as the demon, the full manifestation is they don't worship the Lord. They hate the Vedas. They hate the cows. They hate the Brahmanas. That's, you full on, full Monty, demon, right? But here is that any one of those can qualify you. That, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees, having impure intelligence because of not having devotion to you, think that they are liberated and become Jivan Muktas after severe austerities and penances. They fall down from the position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for the lotus feet of you and your devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.232. So what we can see is that those who actually would make it to actual Brahma Bhuta platform, then they can, or Jivan Mukta, they can function, means they have not made any offenses to the Lord of the devotees, right? So being Brahmavadis, they're on that Brahman platform and they become absorbed in that. And then they go and they, as we mentioned, they sit in Mahakalapura and do their meditation for a while until they get restless. But if in doing all these austerities and that, and they come to whatever elevation they come to, they offend the Lord or the devotees and all that, or disregard them, then they're going to fall down from that position. They're not going to get it farther. Like you see a great yogi like Durvasa, then so elevated, he as a yogi, he can sit in Brahma Loka. That means his position is very, very elevated. But he offended Ambarish Maharaj and got chased around the universe and throughout, everywhere. And for 1 year, right? And so then he had to take, and taking shelter of Vishnu, Vishnu told him he had to take shelter of the devotee because the devotee is insulted, then the Lord's insulted. So it all comes down to, if the Lord's insulted, then, the devotee becomes upset. But the Lord will forgive if you've insulted him, but not the devotee. Right? So therefore, then one has to be very, very careful of that. Right? Even they'd come to this, the position. Right? Right? So the position is imagined, because they may be on that platform, but it's imagined that they're permanently there, because they think, I am Brahman, I'm here, I've merged, I'm here eternally. It's only imagination that that's there. They may be there, but it's not eternal. They have impure intelligence because of rejecting you. Astabhava, for it is said, neither dharma endowed with honesty and mercy, nor knowledge obtained with great penance, can completely purify one's consciousness if they are bereft of loving service to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-22. Right? So dharma with honesty and mercy, or knowledge with great penance and that, they can take you up to elevate the consciousness above Anamoy, Pranamoy, up to Manamoy and Vijnanamoy, but they can't take you beyond. So only, it says, can completely purify, right? Or be, it can't do that if it's bereft of devotional. So only devotional service can take you beyond into Anandamaya. Right? That's the whole point. Is that, so even, yeah. Taking shelter of jnana, they think themselves separate from gross and subtle bodies. With great difficulty, as expressed in Bhagavad Gita 12:5, klesho dikaras tesham. Dikataras, klesho dikataras tesham. They attain the status of jivan muktas and then fall down. Right? With great difficulty, but then they fall down. When, if they fall, they fall if, quote, understood but not stated. They do not eradicate their disrespect for the lotus feet, Lord's lotus feet. They're not aware of the Lord since they lack the power of bhakti. That's why they can't go into the spiritual world. They're right on the border because they've taken the neutral stand. They're not the body, they're the soul. So the material world is where some people with material bodies are there, but because they haven't given up that disrespect of the Lord and that sense of lordship and enjoyment, then they can't actually go into the spiritual world. Only bhakti can take you into the spiritual world. They are not aware of the Lord since they lack the power of bhakti. They again cause burned up sinful karmas to sprout because of disrespecting the lotus feet of the Lord, which are endowed with great power, right? So for the devotees, he takes up devotional service. Those then can't sprout. He takes it up. But for the others, then they act in such a way they can't sprout, but it doesn't mean that then these activities are gotten rid of, but then you can start again. The Lord's feet, which are endowed with great power. So what they're looking for in power, to get to the platform they want, that's coming from the Lord, but they're not looking there. So Jivan, Jivan Mukta Api Punar Bandhanam Yanti Karma Bihi Yad Achintya Maha Shaktau Bhagavat Yaparadhinaha. The Jivan Mukta again is subject to bondage of karma if he offends the Lord endowed with inconceivable great powers. Bhagavat Pratish no Bhagavat Parish pa, Pari no Parishishta from Vasana Bhasya. Right? So that's what you see is the Brahma bodies that don't offend the Lord, then they can move forward into devotional service. Like you see the four Kumaras, they respected the Lord. Or Sukadeva Goswami. There's respect for the Lord. So he is the supreme Brahman and everything else is Brahman, and so it's all Brahman, so that's their absorption. So because of that aspect, they can move forward into bhakti. But if they actually think the Lord is, has a material form and things like that, then how are they going to move forward? Jivan Mukta Prapadyante Phacit Samsara Vasanam Yogino Vai No Vipyante Karamabhir Bhagavat Paraha. The Jivan Muktas sometimes are subject to impressions of samsara. The yogis surrendered to the Lord are not touched by karmas. Bhagavat Parishishta. Right, so the Jivan Mukta, some impressions of samsara means there's the difficulties going on, so the impressions going on around them of being in samsara, though they themselves may be beyond that, but they have those impressions. While the yogis who are surrendered, they're not touched by it. It's just different situations in which to serve the Lord. So it doesn't create, it doesn't create impressions of samsara. So that's the devotee then is the best. In Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya, section of another Purana is said concerning Rath Yatra. Nanu Vrajati Yo Mohad Vrajantam Parameshwaram Gyanagni Dagdha Karamapi Sabhavet Brahma Rakshasaha. He who out of ignorance does not follow the Supreme Lord when he goes on the chariot becomes a Brahma Rakshasa, even though his karmas have been burnt up by jnana. Right? So it doesn't matter what your position is. You have to respect the Lord. You have to serve the Lord. Right? Okay. So we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.